This is Humpty and Canty. Weekdays at 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.
The Brickashaw Ferguson in studio. Now, this Saturday, May 18th, the Brickashaw will be participating in the Brooklyn Half Marathon and raising funds for the Act for Compassion charity. Act for Compassion provides help for families and children in El Salvador. To donate, visit actforcompassion.com/C-Brick-Run. actforcompassion.com/C-Brick-Run. So we welcome to Brickashaw Ferguson in studio. What's going on, buddy?
Brick, I got to ask you this question, man, because we got to get into this. We were talking about why you were coming into the studio to promote the half marathon that you're running. How do you motivate yourself to run a half marathon? Because you're not a little man. And for me, I mean, listen, if I'm running that long, there's got to be a check that's going into my bank account. So please explain to me how you get yourself up to do this each and every year.
It's helping people. But, you know, my uncle, he was a big inspiration. I ran a half marathon earlier this year, and he was like, look, I need you and your brother. You know, I want to get the family together. I want you guys to run. I want you and your brother to run the half marathon. And I'm like, oh, okay, we'll do like a 5K or 10K. He's like, no, I want you to run the half marathon. And so I'm like, man, this I don't know if this is going to be good. I'm kind of nervous. But, you know, it was enough of the motivation to get me out there. I did it. It was an experience. And now I feel like, all right, let's do it on my turf. Let's see if I can just, you know, do what I did in practice. And, yeah, so I don't know. I guess it's a little bit of, like, trying to see if I can do it, you know.
So how do you warm up for the half? Like, how far do you go in the warm-up runs?
Well, I mean, I use Strava, so it's a kind of a training as well as, like, a social platform. But, you know, they really train by duration. I mean, the longest I've run right now in this training cycle has been, like, 12.5 miles. So, I mean, I feel pretty confident about the run itself. But, you know, you still have to do it race day. You know, you still got to show up.
I love how they make it sound. It's a half marathon. It's still 13. Was it 13 miles?
13.1, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like to drive 13 miles.
It's not a small distance, but it's doable, man. Maybe you guys are interested?
No, maybe, definitely not.
No, I'm all out.
I can drive next to you if you'd like.
Yeah.
So, and I was asking this while we were off the air. I mean, you look great.
Thank you, man.
So, I mean, transition from offensive line to now, Chris calls it civilian life.
Mm.
How's it been? Do you miss it? Do you look at the Jets now and in the moves that they made and say to yourself, God, I'd like to be a part of this, or I wish I was a part of this, or you just all passed it?
You know, I feel like, you know, the transition is not always an easy one. I mean, there's definitely it's a lot different. I don't want to play football. You know what I mean? That's not my goal. But I do feel like there was a certain sense of, like, okay, I know what I do. I know how to get better. I know how I'm being evaluated. And when you leave that, you know, you just have to figure it out. And I think when you can do something where – you know, you're setting goals, it's helping people, you know, like running for a cause, it helps. But there's still life that you need to figure out. But I'm excited for, you know, the team this year. I think, you know, we're going to do something special. I mean, I think every year somebody says, okay, this is our year. But we made a lot of good, you know, moves. I mean, we got pieces in place, quarterback, coaching. Like, it looks good for us, I think.
And that's what I wanted to ask you. You brought up coaching. I mean, you played under Todd Bowles and you saw the organization made a decision to move away from him hire Adam Gase this offseason. What do you make of that whole situation? And of course, why Mike Maccagnan felt like he had to make that decision?
You know, I'll say, you know, the NFL is always an organization that wants to have success. You know, if you have, you know, 3 years back to back that weren't winning seasons, the thought is that something will change. I mean, I don't think, you know, it's a very competitive league. So figuring out which piece to move, sometimes being a head coach or a star player, like, somebody's going to have to take the brunt of that. But I think.
Oh, you just called Todd Bowles the fall guy in this situation?
I'm not saying they had three consecutive
losing seasons.
I'm just saying it's a very competitive league.
Gotcha.
And so I'm not surprised that, you know, something had to change, you know. I will say that, you know, moving into this season, there is a lot of expectation for you know, success. I mean, and I think it's rightfully so. I mean, I think we can expect a good year.
So you talk about success and you think that that's realistic expectations. What does that mean? Does that mean above 500? Do you look at the Jets and say this is a playoff caliber team? Where do you lie when it comes to this?
I would say above 500. I think that you can make that statement. But again, I think it's always dicey when you start shooting for the stars and saying, oh, we're definitely going to the playoffs. You know, you don't know that. But I do think we have the ability to make a splash and to be competitive out there.
To Brick Richard Ferguson joining us here on the show. Brick, so the one concern for me, and I kind of joked about this last year with Sam Darnold, it seemed like, you know, when you take a quarterback that high in the draft, a lot of it has to do with, you know, the situation he's being put in and make sure you develop the kid and you give him the tools to be successful. And it felt like everything they did last year was almost the opposite of that. Like they were trying to make this thing not work.
Okay.
So new offensive system, new head coach. You're an offensive lineman. How long would you say it takes for, because we know how important you guys are to his success, for you and the quarterback to be on the same page with the new system?
I mean, I think it can happen within a season. I don't think it has to be this, you know, because even during my tenure, there was a lot of changeover, whether it be new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, you know, like new philosophy. So I think just being an NFL player, you get used to that. I don't think anybody's that's new to anybody. But if it clicks and there's chemistry, it can go fast. I mean, you find your core plays, figure out who your playmakers are, and you make your splash, and then you just develop over time. Okay, this is how we're going to add our wrinkles. But I don't think it has to take a long time. This can go. It can catch fire quick.
Brick, one of the prize free agent acquisitions this offseason, running back Le'Veon Bell, he's made the choice to skip the early portion of the voluntary workouts and the voluntary minicamp. What do you make of that decision for him to stay away from the club after they made that commitment to him and gave him those financial guarantees?
I mean, this guy, he's been in the league. He knows what it's about. I mean, I think there's advantages to being there early. But if this is, you know, he doesn't have to be there. If this is his time and this is how he prepares, I mean, to be a dynamic back, then that's his right. But I think whenever you can be a part of an organization and kind of learn and soak that up, it's only going to help. It's only going to help.
DeBrick and Shaw Ferguson with us in studio today, 98.7 ESPN. Sam Darnold, are you all in? You fully believe in this kid is going to be a big-time NFL quarterback?
Yeah. I think being a young guy in the league is always challenging. You know, there's always that expectation, particularly even being that quarterback, like, oh, you know, he has to wear a lot. And so I wish he had more time, you know, but time is not a luxury that we have. You know, you have to go in and just execute. But I think he can be the guy. There's no reason why he shouldn't be.
All right, explain this to me. So when I talk to Chris about the NFL and we talk about how much different it is than the NHL, we only have, you know, 23, 25 guys, but you have the offensive line, the defensive line, you have, you know, secondary guys, wide receivers. Why is it that every time I ask an NFL football player, it's always the offensive line that is the most tightly knit? How come that doesn't translate to the other position groups as well?
I don't know why it doesn't translate, but I know for us to have success, we got to be on the same page. You know, Nick and I, whether it be you know, Karp or Fanica or you know, we always need to be on the same page because it just takes that coordination. I don't know how. I mean, you know, Chris can speak to the defense and how it operates, but as an offensive line, you know, calls, you know, passing games, pulling, like, you need to know where guys are. You need to know that, you know, people are doing their assignments. And sometimes that comes to repetition, that camaraderie on and off the field. Like, it all matters.
Brick, one of the things that we were talking about on our show was when the Jets made the decision to hire Adam Gase, they were going to be allowed the leeway to select who his defensive coordinator was going to be. And, of course, the Jets decided that they wanted Greg Williams to be on that staff. Do you, knowing both coaches, do you see there being any potential issues in terms of a power struggle or a strain dynamic working together in terms of trying to get this thing going in the right direction?
I don't know if it's a power struggle or a strain dynamic. I think, you know, practice fields is always, it's crazy. You know, that defense is always trying to chirp at the O-line or the offense, and, you know, we're trying to, you know, make sure we're getting our execution. And so I just think it's going to make for a great practice environment. I'm sure practices are going to be crazy.
But I know both coaches are highly competitive, and practice is one thing. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is when the organization makes the decision to hire a new head coach, you usually allow that coach the autonomy to hire his own staff.
Right, right.
But this is a little bit of a different situation with the Jets because they wanted input on Adam Gase's staff. I mean, that's the reason why Matt Rhule didn't get the job.
Okay.
That's the reason why some other people weren't in consideration for the head coaching job. So I'm asking you, based on your experience being in the NFL, do you think that there could potentially be a problem if things don't get off to a great start this season?
I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, it's always been offense versus defense. I understand you're saying how the coaches might have been selected, but I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. At this point, I mean, I know you have respect, obviously, for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the Patriots, but enough is enough. I mean, what point does this end? I mean, what's going on here?
Hopefully sooner than later, man.
This guy won't stop.
I hope the rain comes to a close. I know Gronk is no longer in the picture, at least for this year. Hopefully it ends. But
I mean, the guy looks like he's getting younger. He's getting face work done. He looks. I can't take it. I don't know.
He looked great at the Met Gala, by the way.
He looked fantastic.
He looked great at the Met Gala.
He's glowing, this guy.
He's glowing.
Does it shock you? I mean, football's not a sport where you're supposed to be good for 20 years. Like, a team is never supposed to be dominant for a 20-year run. You see that in other sports, but not in football.
I mean, you're always going to have your anomalies, guys who kind of operate above, you know, the rest. But, you know, hopefully the rain will end, you know. Hopefully it will come to a close. Hopefully. Hopefully.
You don't say that with a lot of confidence.
I can't. I mean, demonstrated performance. He's done that.
So. We need dragons at this point.
That didn't turn out too well.
I don't want to hear. Don't say anything. Don't tell me.
You didn't watch it?
No, I did not watch it.
Tell us about it. Was it good?
No.
No? You don't hear?
By the way, get ESPN. Get Michael Leaves needs to be suspended.
What'd he do? Did he ruin it this morning?
I can't even watch SportsCenter. He starts doing he's tying into a highlight into Game of Thrones.
But we can't talk about it a little bit?
No, I didn't see any of it.
Can we talk around it? Like in broad strokes.
Around it?
You saw what happened to Rosenberg when he started giving up spoilers.
When he was giving spoilers. Don't give spoilers. Just go.
I would just say, wow.
Rick,
right?
Rick is putting his hands in his ears.
That happened. And so, yeah. That was broad, right? I mean, for the people that saw it, they know, like, man.
Did you love it? Was
it's
great?
Like when the Patriots play the Jets, you know what's going to happen. Exactly. It's the same thing.
There are some wrinkles. Yeah.
Oh, I'll take that. There's some wrinkles.
Are you still celebrating UVA's basketball championship?
Yes, that was huge, man. I mean, UVA has done very well in, you know, a lot of the other sports. I mean, you know, football, we're trying to get it together. But now that basketball has a championship, it's like, man, we're becoming a force, man.
You guys make great toast with the football team.
Come on, man, really?
Bronco
That's
Mendenhall.
What you got to do.
So in the
you got to do something, right?
Why do you take shots?
So in the last episode, I don't know if you saw.
Nice.
Daenerys was
right.
Coming in. Oh, okay,
right.
Okay.
Appreciate
so
that.
What about that
Appreciate
toast?
That. Oh,
okay.
So Brick, you got to tell the guys the story about how I was your host for your recruitment.
He was, man. I think there's a couple versions of the story.
No, give them your version. No, tell them what actually happened. Tell them what actually happened.
I just felt like, you know what? Chris always says, I helped you make the best decision of your life, and that was to come to UVA. And I don't think he was wrong. I think, you know, UVA definitely, it worked out very well.
Well, what was the recruiting trip like?
Tell him the story. Tell us the story.
I want to hear your version.
Well, I mean, ultimately what it comes to is like this. The coaches say, hey, we got a guy that's from New York. We really need him to come to school here. I mean, he's a five-star prospect. He's Mr. Football from the state, whatever. So I'm like, all right, full court press. I'll make sure that he has a good time. Now, he's there for the weekend, so I figured I got two nights to make sure that we get him to come to UVA. So the first night, you know, I had some business to tend to, and so mm-hmm. I kind of ditch him, and
I leave
him to some of the other guys that played on the team, and he doesn't have a great night. He's sitting in a dorm room, quote-unquote, watching paint dry. I think that's how he put it to all the coaches.
So you were bored to tears.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
It was that Friday night. It was for a good reason, though, Dave. It was for a good reason. And so that next Saturday, the coaches called me up. They say, hey, man, what happened? He had an awful time. I don't care what you got to do. Make sure that this kid commits to us after this weekend. Needless to say, after Saturday night, the Brickashaw Ferguson decided that next week that he was going to become a Virginia Cavalier. Is that kind
of
how
great
it went?
Nights?
Yeah.
Is that kind of how it went?
Yeah, that's how it went.
Okay.
All C-squared, man. That was him. UVA.
No, it wasn't all me. It wasn't all me.
Well,
I just blew it. I facilitated his greatness.
No, eventually.
Well, what happened on Saturday?
You were selfish and you facilitated.
Those are details that, you know.
Those are details that we can't share on air, Dave, but we'll leave it to the
imagination. Give the young guy a show. Do something.
Well, I mean, listen, selfish. I made up for it on Saturday. Listen, did he not come to the school? Did he not sign a letter of
intent? Were you on the verge of not going to Virginia because of the Friday night?
Yes. No, I don't. No, it all worked out.
It all worked out.
Yeah.
So you didn't get him arrested, so that was a good thing.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I unfortunately did not.
Because you did.
maybe got arrested. Allegedly.
DeBrickenshaw
Ferguson in studio with us. So you're running the half, the Brooklyn half on Saturday. Is the goal at some point to go full marathon?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's in many people's minds, that's the next logical step, but that's another 13 miles. So
you don't envision that happening.
I'm uncertain at this point.
What's the time frame for you to finish 13 miles?
Like 220, 217-ish,
okay. All right.
220. Yeah.
They don't want to push it. Don't get crazy.
Nah. Like I said, I'm a former offensive lineman running a half marathon. I'm not competitive. You know, I'm not running 5-6 miles, you know.
Yeah, the only
miles.
Way I'm running that far for that long is if there's the apocalypse that's happening. There's no way.
Me from zombies.
There's no way I'm running 13 miles.
I'm probably just calling it. This is Saturday, Saturday morning?
Yeah, it's coming quick.
You want to come on the air while you're running this thing for like a minute or two?
Yeah, I'll just call me and I'll just be like, hey guys, I'm about to pass out. This might not be the best time, but
I see what you're doing, Dave.
What?
You're trying to steal one of our show guests for your own show.
Well, I'm on the air Saturday by myself, 9 to noon, always looking for interesting
guests.
So, Brick,
that's the only show he really cares about.
That's not true.
He just does this in his spare time. But the
spare
show that
time.
He really cares
for 15 hours
is the Dave Rothenberg show.
Yeah, my spare time is 15 hours
time.
A week. But if you'd like a phone call, maybe like a motivational speech from me at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning.
I'm like, I don't recognize the number. What? I'm running.
I'm on mile 11. What do you want?
Well, that was Brick. He seems like he's doing okay.
He's still alive. Going to catch up with him for pancakes at the end of this 13 miles.
So what's the rest of the weekend look like after this? Just like in bed the rest of the weekend?
You know, you're tired. You know, I probably want to go home and not talk to anybody. My brother's birthday is on the 18th. That's one of the reasons why, you know, I can help to convince him to run it with me. But we'll probably go out and, you know, celebrate.
Hey, what kind of plans do you got for his birthday?
You know, he's a family man now. So, okay. You know, just dinner, you know, right. Dinner
he's
and the family.
Still an Island guy?
No. He's he recently moved to Delaware. So opportunities down there. But we'll be out here in Jersey.
Nice. All right. So this Saturday, May 18th, the DeBrickenshaw will be participating in the Brooklyn Half Marathon, raising funds for the Act for Compassion charity. Act for Compassion provides help for families and children in El Salvador. To donate, actforcompassion.com/C-Brick-Run. Again, that's actforcompassion.com/C-Brick-Run. We appreciate a couple minutes. Good luck on Saturday.
You. Appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. That is DeBrickenshaw Ferguson.
Thanks for listening to Humpty and Canty. Catch them weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.